You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Happy Wednesday to you. It's time for our comprehensive primer regarding the Bills matchup coming up on Monday against the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to break down that football team from every angle and let you know what challenges are ahead for the Buffalo Bills in Week 13. So let's start with the nuts and bolts. The Buffalo Bills have a road date with the San Francisco 49ers in Week 13. The game will be played on Monday, December 7th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern Time at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. The game will be televised on ESPN. Steve Levy will handle the play-by-play with Louis Riddick and Brian Greasy as the game analysts. Lisa Salters will report from the sideline. I will say that this is a better Monday Night Football broadcasting group than we've seen in recent years with the Jason Wittens and Booger McFarlanes of the world, but I still don't love it for the, you know, quote-unquote premier football game of the week, right? The one that is supposed to be the best television experience for a football game every week. I still don't think that they've got it right. I don't think they have the right combination in the booth quite yet. The Bills and 49ers have met 12 times previously in history, and the all-time series is tied at 6 wins apiece. So somebody gets bragging rights here for leading the all-time series after this game on Monday. The last meeting between the Bills and 49ers was in Week 6 of 2016. The Bills won that game 45-16. The Bills improved to 4-2, and the 49ers fell to 1-5. Some notables from that game: Tyrod Taylor was 16 of 25 for 179 yards with 2 passing touchdowns. LeSean McCoy had 19 carries for 140 yards and 3 touchdowns. The Bills as a team had 313 rushing yards. Tyrod Taylor had 68. Mike Gillisley had 61. And then Robert Woods and Justin Hunter caught touchdown passes in that game. Bills enter this game at 8-3, first place in the AFC East and fourth in the AFC playoff standings. The 49ers are 5-6. They're fourth in the NFC West and 10th in the NFC playoff standings, but they're only one game back in the loss column from the 7th seed Arizona Cardinals. So the 49ers are kind of a long shot to make the playoffs, but they're definitely in it because all they really need to do is catch Arizona, and they're in. So they have a chance. The 49ers' 5 wins this year came against the Jets, Giants, Rams twice, and the Patriots. Their 6 losses came against the Cardinals, Eagles, Dolphins, Seahawks, Packers, and Saints. Head coach of this football team is Kyle Shanahan, 40 years old. He's in his 4th season as the 49ers head coach. He's 28-31 overall, 6-10 in his first season in 2017, 4-12 in 2018, 13-3 last year. They were the 2019 NFC champions. Really good football team. They were healthy. That was kind of the big story in 17 and 18, a very banged up football team, much like they are right now at 5-6. No George Kittle, no Nick Bosa. You know, they've got guys on offense that have been in and out of the lineup all season long. Jarkiski Tart, their outstanding safety, is on injury reserve. So they've had a ton of key injuries to their biggest players. Jimmy Garoppolo, their starting quarterback's injured. So injuries have been quite the theme for Kyle Shanahan over his time in San Francisco. But we saw what he can do with a healthy football team. They were 13-3 last year and went to the Super Bowl. Led the Chiefs in the second half. Took a come-from-behind win by Patrick Mahomes to put away the 49ers. So, look, good football team when they're healthy, but they're not right now. He is the son of Mike Shanahan, as you may have guessed. Looking at Kyle Shanahan's path to becoming the head coach of the 49ers, in 2004 through 2005, he was an offensive quality control with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In 2006 and 2007, he was a wide receivers and then quarterbacks coach for the Houston Texans. In 2008 and 2009, he was the offensive coordinator for the Texans. 2010 through 2013, he was the Washington offensive coordinator. In 2014, he was the Browns offensive coordinator. 2015 and 2016, he was the Falcons offensive coordinator. And then, of course, he landed the head coaching gig with the 49ers beginning in 2017. A couple of notes here on Shanahan is that the 49ers average 5.7 penalties per game, which is right in the middle of the pack. So not a heavily penalized team, but also not a team that is immune to them, right? They're right in the middle of the pack. I think 14th in the NFL in penalties called against them. And Kyle Shanahan has challenged 23 plays in his career, and 14 of those were overturned. Let's talk about the quarterback of this football team. Nick Mullins is the guy the Bills will be facing on Monday. 6'1", 210 pounds. He's an undrafted free agent back in 2018 out of Southern Mississippi. He'll be making his 14th career start on Monday against the Bills. He has 5 starts so far in 2020, and he had 8 in 2018 as an undrafted rookie free agent. The 49ers, with Mullins as their starting quarterback, have tallied 5 wins and 8 losses. So far in 2020, he's completing 67.5% of his passes, 235 yards per game, 6 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and a passer rating of 87.1. He's not much of a factor as a runner at all. He's got 29 rushes this season for negative 18 yards, so not a guy that's really a threat to do much or anything with his legs. I want to start with some critical numbers when it comes to Nick Mullins that I think really tell the story of not only the type of player the Bills are going up against in Mullins, but the stylistic type of passing game that the Bills are going to be facing against the 49ers. So want to lead with these critical stats. First thing you need to know, 6.1 intended air yards per attempt. That is what Nick Mullins averages. That's the third lowest in the NFL. 3.6 air yards per completed pass. That's the sixth lowest in the NFL. So a lot of very short passes. Now here's another number, 6.5 yards after catch per completion. That is number one in the NFL. This is a dink and dunk offense. It is schemed in manufactured throws, and they want to get the ball into the hands of their playmakers, and they have very good guys at producing after the catch, really good yak guys, guys that know how to create for themselves. And Nick Mullins is just a trigger man. He just needs to get the ball into the hands of these guys and let them go to work, as very much evidenced by the statistics I just gave you. This is an offense predicated on short schemed throws that rely on yards after the catch. When it comes to deep passing, not a big part of what this team does. Only 6.3% of Nick Mullins' attempts this year were targeted 20 plus yards down the field. That's the second lowest frequency in the NFL. Now, when Mullins does throw it 20 plus down the field this year so far, he's 9 of 13 for 276 yards with 1 touchdown and 1 interception. When it comes to accuracy, Nick Mullins has an on-target percentage of 76.2. That is 22nd in the NFL. I also want to take this opportunity to give you a friendly reminder that Josh Allen is 5th in the NFL when it comes to on-target percentage, and he's one of only 5 quarterbacks in the league that is above 80% when it comes to on-target percentage. I love to remind people that Josh Allen is not an inaccurate thrower of the football. Nick Mullins, let's get back to Nick Mullins. Mullins, his bad throw percentage is 14.4%, which is 7th best in the NFL. And to that I would say, given this man's intended air yards per attempt and the fact that he's not really throwing the football very far down the field, I mean right at about 6 yards per attempt, you better be accurate on those short passes. So look, you better not be throwing bad throws when you're not even attempting to throw the ball down the field. When it comes to play action, it's a pretty big part of what this offense does. 29% of Nick Mullins' passing attempts this year are play action passes. That's the 11th most frequent in the NFL. With play action, Mullins is completing 71.4% of his passes, 10.1 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 108. Without play action, completing 66%, 7.2 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 79.3. So you can see a pretty stark difference in those splits with play action and without play action. He's much better with the play action fake. The ball comes out quick for Nick Mullins. His average time to throw is 2.52 seconds, which is the sixth fastest in the NFL. And boy, he needs to get the ball out quick. Wait till you see these splits. When he gets the ball out in under 2.5 seconds, he completes 73.1% of his passes and a passer rating of 103.4. When he holds onto the ball for more than 2.5 seconds, he's completing 59.8% of his passes and a passer rating of 64.7. A very, very drastic difference there when it comes to getting the ball out quick or holding onto it for a little bit longer. When it comes to being under pressure, Nick Mullins is under pressure a lot. 30.5% of his dropbacks, he faces pressure, which is the most in the NFL. When he's kept clean, he's a good player. 74.6% completion percentage, 9.4 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 106.6. When he's pressured, what do you see these numbers? 53% completion percentage, 5 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 47.4. This is a quarterback that crumbles under pressure. Now, here's the thing. Blitzing doesn't help you. When Mullins is not blitzed, he completes 65.9% of his passes, 7.7 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 74.2. When you do blitz him, he completes 70% of his passes, 8.4 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 108.6. So if you blitz, that's what he wants you to do. They're going to get the ball out quick, a lot of scheme throws, tunnel screens, just quick horizontal passes that gets the ball into the hands of his weapons. And so blitzing him just makes that easier. So this is a guy where you want to get your hands up in throwing lanes and get quick pressure with four and tackle. So we'll talk more about keys here in just a moment. But I think those numbers, those splits, I know that's a lot of information, but I think it really does tell the story on who Nick Mullins is as a quarterback and, you know, stylistically what this 49ers passing attack really presents for the Bills to deal with on Monday night. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes always available when you need them. I personally have an Echelon fitness bike, and I'd love to take some live classes with listeners to this podcast and create groups to push each other. So if you have an Echelon fitness bike, let me know. I'd love to take some live classes with you. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to 5 family members work out all at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. The offensive coordinator for this team is Kyle Shanahan, their head coach. He's got 12 seasons as an NFL offensive coordinator, and in those 12 seasons, he has 5 top 10 offenses, and only twice was he not ranked in the top half of the league in total offense, and that was his first year in Washington and his only year in Cleveland. In 2020, so far, this offense is producing 23.7 points per game. That's 20th in the league. 40.2% of their third downs are converted. That's 23rd in the NFL. They're averaging 363 total yards per game. That's 14th. 112 rushing yards per game. That's 16th. And 251 passing yards per game. That is 12th. Let's look at the weapons that Kyle Shanahan has and Nick Mullins has at his disposal. Wide receivers, their main guys, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and Kendrick Bourne. Samuel and Ayuk are dangerous dudes with the ball in their hands. They're extremely competitive, they're shifty, they're physical, and they're explosive. They are guys that know how to make people miss and create yards for themselves. You've got to get these guys on the ground. Nick Bowens wants nothing more than to get the ball out of his hands quick, into the hands of those two dudes, and let them go to work. You got to tackle. You got to tackle. Kendrick Bourne also gets his share of targets. He's not a huge receiver. He's a bigger receiver that's kind of slow, but very cerebral, good route runner, good hands, chain mover type guy. But Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are the two dudes there that can create a lot of issues for you. And they don't just throw them the football. You know, they'll get them going in the run game as well with reverses and all kinds of misdirection type stuff where they get the ball into their hands as a traditional running back as well. They'll just hand them the football. So really dynamic guys. At tight end, the Bills dodge a bullet and don't have to deal with George Kittle. They do have Jordan Reed, the longtime tight end for Washington. He comes over. Look, a very potent guy. Obviously, he's had a ton of injury issues, but he's healthy right now, and he's a dangerous weapon. He's a guy that can really challenge the middle of the field and put stress on the Bills linebackers and safeties to carry him down the seam. So he's a really dynamic tight end who's healthy right now, and when he's healthy, he's productive. At running back, they have a ton of different guys, and they got one that really makes me nervous. And their primary ball carrier is Raheem Mostert. He's a guy that is really shifty. He's physical. I think he's got some pretty good foot fire to him. I mean, he's a dangerous player. And they run this wide zone rushing attack, and Mostert just has a really good feel for it. So he'll be a handful for the Bills to deal with on Monday night. They'll also hand the football to Jeff Wilson. Be thankful every time they do and don't give it to Mostert, because I think Mostert's a more dynamic player. Now, they throw the football a ton to these running backs, Mostert and Wilson included, but primarily to Jerick McKinnon and their fullback, Kyle Juszczyk. McKinnon is a shifty dude that is lightning quick and a lot of elusiveness to him. And then Juszczyk is one of those really good receiving fullbacks. He's a good blocker. They'll hand him the football sometimes, and they get creative with him. So he's a very much an X factor for this offense. So, look, a ton of good weapons, and they don't even have Kittle. You know, when you look at Samuel, Ayuk, Jordan Reed's a good player, Mostert, Jerick McKinnon, they got some guys that can do some damage. So this game is about tackling. You got to tackle these guys, because if you don't, they will rip off chunks of yards and make you pay. Let's look at this offensive line. Left tackle, Trent Williams. He's an elite left tackle, one of the best in the game. Their left guard is Lincoln Tomlinson. I think he's an above-average interior offensive lineman, a very physical run blocker. Their center is Daniel Brunskill. He's played some guard for them this year. I think he's ideally a depth player, but you know, right now they've had injuries, and he's their guy at center. Right guard is Colton McKivitz. And again, I think he's a weak link for this unit. And then their right tackle is Mike McGlinchey, who I think is a budding star at tackle, a definitely above average blocker, and a guy that's tough to get around. He's physical in the run game. So their left tackle, their left guard, and their right tackle, those are good football players. Their center and right guard, that's where you have some opportunities to take advantage of them. So what are my keys for the Bills' defense against this 49ers offense? I've said it probably five times already, but number one, and I wrote it down in all capitals, tackle. You got to tackle these guys. They're good after the catch. They're good after contact. You got to gang tackle. You got to hustle to the football, and you got to get these guys down, because they know how to make you miss, and they know how to create chunks of offense. Number two, I wrote down eye discipline. This is a game, this is an offense that's going to feature a lot of horizontal spread, a lot of wide zone rushing, a lot of roll out passes and scheme throws and a lot of the stuff that the Bills saw against the Rams. So, you know, you kind of have to look at that game tape and see what you did well and what you didn't do well, because a lot of the principles that got you in trouble or you had success with are going to be replicated in this 49ers offense. So the good thing about this 49ers offense is that they don't have much of a vertical threat in terms of throwing the football down the field. Because if they made you challenge and defend everything horizontally and vertically, they'd be a total nightmare. They'd put maximum stress on your defense, but they don't have that vertical passing component. So, you know, it's more about your lateral ability, your horizontal ability to take good angles and tackle. So, make them earn it. You got to tackle these guys. You got to have good eye discipline because they're going to try to get misdirection and get you out of your spots and give you all kinds of eye candy. And you need to be disciplined with your assignments and be where you're supposed to be as a defender against the 49ers. Number three, I wrote down run fits. You're going to see wide zone runs over and over and over. And you got to stay in your run fit and compete for your gap and not get out of your gap. Because if you get out of your gap, they're going to gash you. So big time fundamental game when it comes to playing front seven defense this week, particularly with the defensive linemen in run fits. And then the linebackers having confidence and filling windows and getting these running backs on the ground. Number four, I wrote down get pressure with four and get your hands in throwing lanes. We know Nick Mullins wants to get the ball out quick. So if you can get quick pressure and beat your block quickly, then you're in good shape. But if you're not getting there quick, get your hands up and really get in the way of those throwing lanes. Get hands in those throwing lanes and see if you can bat some passes down at the line of scrimmage, because he's not going to hold on to the ball for long. So if you don't win quick, get your hands up if you're rushing the passer. And then number five, I wrote down, invite them to throw the football down the field. That's not what they want to do. But if you can play close to the vest and play up on these receivers and tackle and really kind of bottle things up and say, you know, look, you can do all the finesse fun stuff that you want, stress us horizontally all you want, but if you're going to have success against us, it's going to be because Nick Mullins throws the ball down the field. I would invite them to do that. I want to see cornerbacks and DBs playing closer to the line of scrimmage. I want to see some press coverage. And I want to see the Bills defense invite Nick Mullins to throw the ball down the field and see if he can do it. Need to tell you guys about Built Bar. This is the best tasting protein bar on the planet. Talked about them in the past. Well, they're back with a new product line that includes six amazing new flavors. That includes caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew with the texture and consistency of a candy bar. Built Bar is great for anyone who is health conscious. Whether you want to lose weight, maintain weight, or just indulge in a delicious treat, you got to try Built Bars. They're all low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for anyone on the keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's talk about this 49ers defense, probably the better unit this year at least when it comes to this 49ers football team. Got some good players to deal with here. Their defensive coordinator is Robert Saleh, 41 years old. He's in his fourth season as the 49ers defensive coordinator. His path to getting this job, 2005 to 2010, he was a defensive assistant in Houston with the Texans. 2011 to 2013, he was a defensive assistant in Seattle. In 2014 to 2016, he was the linebackers coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then, of course, he became the 49ers defensive coordinator in 2017. So far, in 2017 and 2018, his defense was ranked 16th in the NFL. Last year, they were third in the league. So far in 2020, they're allowing 23 points per game. That is 11th best in the league. 315 total yards per game. That's 6th best in the league. 112 rushing yards per game, that's 16th. 206 passing yards per game, that is 4th. And then they've had 51 missed tackles so far this year. That's the second fewest in the NFL. So a team that is good at tackling. Figured I'd point that out to you. I want to start pointing that out each week to you when it comes to these defenses so you can have an idea of missed tackles and who tackles well and who doesn't. And the 49ers are a defense that does tackle well. Let's talk about this personnel. At defensive tackle, Javon Kinlaw is their best player. He's a rookie this year, took him out of South Carolina. And they used the pick that they traded DeForest Buckner to the Colts with to get Kinlaw. He's a good player. He's explosive. He's got really nice traits. I don't think he's all the way there yet as a football player. You know, I think he's still developing. But he's got some dangerous traits, but he's not super consistent quite yet, just like a lot of rookie defensive tackles. His running mates at defensive tackle are Kevin Givens and Kentavious Street. I think those are below average players. At defensive end, they got a couple of good ones, Eric Armstead and Kerry Hyder. Both of those guys are power style rushers. They're not super explosive, but long arms, heavy hands, guys that will really challenge your ability to anchor and maintain the width of the pocket. So Armstead and Hyder are the two main guys there. You'll also see Deion Jordan, former high pick of the Miami Dolphins. He's had one interesting career, a lot of suspensions, a lot of different teams, but he gets a lot of run for this 49ers defense, and he's been a reasonably solid player. At linebacker, they got a couple of good young ones in Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. Fred Warner, I think, is on that trajectory to become one of the best 5 or 10 linebackers in the league. He's a really good player, good in coverage, good in space, physical, good athleticism. And his running mate is Dre Greenlaw, who is a reasonably solid player. I don't think he's a plus player or anything like that, but combine those two, one of the emerging duos on the second level in the NFL. Now at cornerback, they've got some veterans here. Richard Sherman is back and healthy, and Jason Verrett. Remember that guy? Former first-round pick of the Chargers out of TCU. Really, really good football player that's just always been hurt. And he's finally healthy, and he's playing good ball. So Sherman and Verrett, they've got some tenure to them. And I think they've got some athletic limitations at this point in their respective careers. But they're smart football players that function well in Robert Saleh's zone-heavy defense. Their slot corner is going to be Emmanuel Mosley. I think they want Jamar Taylor to be their primary slot, but he got injured last week against the Rams, and I don't think he's going to be available this week. So Emmanuel Mosley, who's had some good games for them, he played a ton for them in their Super Bowl run and in the playoffs, but I think he's been a little bit inconsistent this year and actually didn't win the starting slot job, but he'll be called upon to cover Cole Beasley this week. At safety, Jimmy Ward is their best player. He's a stud, former first-round pick, creates turnovers. He can play in man. He's aggressive tackling. I don't think he's quite Buda Baker-level good, but maybe like a B-plus version of a Buda Baker. Really, really good football player. And then their other safety is normally Charkiski Tart, but he's on injured reserve, and so it'll be Tarvarius Moore, who I think is ideally suited to be a backup. So could be some opportunities there. But you think about Sherman, Verrett, Ward. I mean, those are really, really cerebral veteran defensive backs that and know what they're doing back there. So what are my keys for the Bills' offense against this 49ers defense? I have 4 things written down. Number 1 is do aggressive things to get a lead. You know, when you think about this 49ers offense, and I know we're talking about the Bills' defense here, but this 49ers offense, you know, they want to have a ball control offense, run the football, short passes. If you can get a lead and get them out of that and ask them to kind of open things up and ask Nick Mullins to engineer a comeback, you got to like your chances. So if you got anything in the bag of tricks, if you want to take some shots, do it early in this football game and create that lead and put that pressure on Nick Mullins to lead a comeback against your football team. So I think for the Bills offensively against this 49ers defense is be aggressive early and try to build up a lead and put that stress on Nick Mullins. Number 2, I wrote down be ready for zone coverage. This is a team that is a bit limited when it comes to athleticism in their secondary. So they're going to play leveraged zone over top of your receivers. So this is going to be Josh Allen hitting throws with anticipation. It's going to be about running the right route combinations to free up guys and get guys open. And it's going to be a lot more timing. So Josh is going to have to take his profits and make good, accurate throws, which he can do. But, you know, it's a situation where you're not going to get those man opportunities. It's going to be very unlikely that you're going to get Diggs ISO'd up on Richard Sherman, and you know that Diggs is just going to out-athlete him, right? They're going to play zone, they're going to play leverage, and they're going to bracket. So good route combinations and accurate throws, timing anticipation. Take those profits. Number 3, I wrote down test the run defense. You know, I think they've got some liabilities at defensive tackle, and I'd run right at them. I really would. I would see if you can create some push and create some in the run game. Again, I want a pass-heavy attack. I always want that. But don't be afraid to test this interior defensive line. And number four, I wrote down, see if Richard Sherman can run. Right? I don't anticipate him being 1v1 very frequently on any of the Bills' weapons. But you could scheme that up, right? You can flood zones. You could force the issue. You can challenge him to have to play more inside or outside, you know, based on what you do with your other routes to lift coverage away from him. See if you can get him ISO'd up, because eventually every zone does become man. And see if you can just out-athlete him. Because Richard Sherman's a good football player, but even in his prime, he wasn't a great athlete, right? And not a guy that has a lot of twitch or speed or anything like that. He's just super smart, and he's physical. Well, he's also coming off of injury, and he's as old as he's ever been in the NFL. See if he can run. See if you can find situations where you ISO him up against a better athlete and see if you can make them pay for it. That'd be something I'd try to do for sure. Let's talk about their specialist. Their kicker is Robbie Gold. He's a good one, a longtime kicker in the NFL, 37 years old. He's getting better with age, 87% kicker for his career. This year, he's 89%. I mean, he's been unbelievable over the last 5 years. He's outstanding. Their punter is Mitch Wishnowski, second-year player. They took him in the fourth round in 2019. If that says anything about his talent level, a punter was drafted in the fourth round. He's been terrific for them. He's really good so far this year. 48.4 average per punt and a 43.4 net. That's really, really outstanding numbers. Average is about 4.5 seconds per punt when it comes to hang time. The return guy is Trent Taylor. Not a super dynamic guy, 5'8", 180 pounds. He runs 4.63, 40-yard dash. Quicker than fast, a sure-handed guy, but not a guy that's super explosive. So he'll field the kicks and punts like he should. He'll get the yards that he should, but I don't think he's a real home run threat based on a limited athletic profile. So there you have it. That's what the Bills are dealing with on Monday Night Football. Hopefully you are prepared and ready for this game, and we'll continue getting you ready for it tomorrow when Brian Peacock, the outstanding host of the Locked On 49ers podcast, is going to join me for our crossover preview. So you have that to look forward to on Thursday. So make sure that you are subscribed. I kindly ask that you share, rate, and review the podcast, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.